Good evening, young disciples. It's a pleasure to spend Sabbath with you. Does anyone want to guess where my shirt is from? Good guess. Hawaii, good guess. Japan, good guess. South Africa, good guess. Canada, good guess. If you do an honest guess, it's a good guess, good guess. That's even better. Yes, ma'am. That's correct. This is called batik. And I have some friends in Indonesia, and I've had the privilege of spending some time there. And so they made sure that I had plenty of batik. So my wife has a matching dress that matches this. So yes, it's very nice. So this is kind of like a wedding outfit or something, but all right. Last night, if you have a flashlight, what's it reminding you? You have treasure in you. That's right. And if you see a baby doll, Clarissa. Yeah, maybe that won't be good. So what about cake? Sometimes you have good things and sometimes you have bad things. But all of them together can make up something that can be good for someone else. Right? Tonight, no illustration. No, tonight is just the story. Okay? So if you're ready, I just like to ask the Holy Spirit to be with us because this is a story from the Bible. And I like him to help us to learn. Father, I pray for an open mind and heart for myself and for each one of us here. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. From the earliest records of time, slavery has existed. Slavery has been in almost every single ancient culture. They used it sometimes to pay off debts, sometimes a result of war, and sometimes it was punishment. Slavery has always been. But sometimes, even in recent times, you may not have realized it, it's estimated that 1/3 of the population of 12 countries in Africa at the end of the Middle Ages, 1/3 of the population was in slavery. Did you realize there's different kinds of slavery? Probably the worst kind is something called chattel slavery. And that is where you're in absolute controlled by another being. You have no rights and you're treated as a piece of property. I found this interesting. It was new for me. In the 1930s, Ethiopia had roughly 2 million slaves out of a population of 11 million people. And slavery was abolished in Ethiopia because of World War II. And so that's good news. Slavery. The Bible talks about it a lot. But one of the maybe cruelest stories of slavery, maybe not cruelest, but a cruel story, is found in the book of Genesis. You got it. It's about Joseph. So if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn with me, and I'm going to tell the story, but there's certain parts of Scripture that would be very helpful if we're looking at as we go through. Genesis chapter 37 is where I'd like to start our thoughts today. Genesis chapter 37. And while I turn to Genesis 37 and verse 5, I'm going to recite what I said before is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It's the last two verses. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. How long is the light affliction? For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Have you ever been in something that didn't feel good and thought, this is not a moment? I remember when I was 13, 12. I remember thinking that my childhood was incredibly long. I got in trouble probably a lot. I ran away from home a few times during that time period. And I kept wishing that I would just grow up and get out of it. And if someone told me, this is a light affliction, I would have said, no, it's not. I just want to get out of this. If someone said, oh, this is just for a moment, Chuck, don't worry about it. Just a moment. This is my whole life. For our light affliction, what is but for a moment. Then it says something interesting, which works for us a far more and exceeding eternal weight of glory. Joseph, in Genesis chapter 37, verse 5, it says this, and Joseph, dreamed the dream. And he told his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. Verse 8, and his brethren said to him, shall you indeed reign over us, or shall you indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more. Verse 18. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near to them, they conspired against him to kill him, slay him. So they hated him, and then they hated him all the more. And the hatred got to the point where they were saying, I'm really to kill him. And then you look in verse 28, they didn't kill him, but what did they do? It says here, they sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and Joseph was brought to Egypt. We seldom know when the hand of God is using divine plans in our life. We don't need to know. You may face things that you're not sure why they're happening, but God is using it in his overall plan, and that's what was happening in Joseph's life. So Joseph is sold into slavery. A man that I have appreciated said this, the trials and disappointments and the injuries that are brought to us by our enemies and sometimes our friends, the hardships of life, the heartbreak, all have their mission from God to prepare us to carry out God's ultimate plan in our lives. Oh, that we could believe this. What it would change it would make in our lives. When Joseph was being taken captive to Egypt, was God with him? Are you sure? Okay, please read Genesis chapter 39. And verse 1, Genesis chapter 39, verse 1. He is now being sold into Egypt. Is it possible that he would be actually become a slave if God was with him? Do you mean that sometimes bad things happen to people even if God's with them? Okay. Genesis chapter 39 and verse 1. Let's see what it says. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither, or brought him down there. And 39 verse 2 says this. Actually, could you tell me what 39 verse 2 says? And the Lord was with Joseph. Wait. He was sold as a chattel slave. Yes? Was he in charge of his own life? Not anymore. Did someone else own him? Could someone tell him what to do? Did he have to do it? If he didn't have it, what would happen? He would get beat up. And if he continued to refuse, what would happen? They'd kill him. Was Joseph in charge of his life? And it says the Lord was with Joseph. Sometimes we must realize that no matter what we face, no matter how terrible it is, because chattel slavery is considered worse than death by many people, God is with us. There was no one lower in Egypt than Joseph. Does that make sense? When he was brought in by the Ishmaelites, and I used to think that the Ishmaelites, have you ever seen pictures of Joseph going to Egypt on the back of a camel? How many of you have seen that picture? It's a beautiful picture, but I don't think it happened that way. Slaves typically maybe had chains around their arms and around their feet and around their necks. And there's a possibility that he traveled down the road from Palestine to Egypt like this. There's a possibility that he didn't have a camel ride. And as he was walking down, he was probably questioning. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are. Do you think Joseph had that experience? He's perplexed. Why God? And yet something happens on that road where he decides he's going to give himself wholeheartedly to God no matter what. And so now he's with Potiphar. He's the lowest you can get in Egypt. He's a chattel slave. And there as a chattel slave, Genesis 39 verse 2 says, and the Lord was with Joseph. No matter who you are, no matter how high you are, no matter how low you are, if you are surrendered to God, God is with you. Doesn't make a difference if you're a slave or you're a free man. Doesn't make a difference if you're 2 years old, 8 years old, 80 years old, 120 years old. God is with you. So, it doesn't stop there. It says, and the Lord was with Joseph. And what's the next phrase? What's it say? And he was a prosperous man, or he was a successful man. Now I'm confused. Are you confused? The Bible says, here is a chattel slave. He was at one point the lowest you could be in Egypt. And God says, I'm with you. And then a little bit later says, and he was successful. I would not consider slavery successful. Would you consider that a success? Yeah, I climbed the ladder. I'm a slave now. We wouldn't say that, would we? When you start looking at what you want to do in your future, because I know that there's some young disciples here who are getting to a point where you're starting to think, okay, what's next? What's after academy? Maybe some of you counselors are also having that go through your mind. Where am I going to go? You do not hope to attain slavery. You're hoping to get maybe a good job somewhere, a great ministry position, or maybe have a nice home. Slavery is not on your list of success. But it says here that Joseph was a what? Successful man. The man who wrote a book about Joseph that I'm quoting is the name Carl B. Haynes. He wrote a book called God Sent a Man. If you haven't read it, I'd encourage you to do so. He says this, the man in Joseph who was focused on God was deeper than the slave. Did you catch that? The man, Joseph, that was focused on God, he was deeper than the slave. Slave was the outside covering. But there was a man focused on God on the inside. It enabled him to rise above his slavery and live in another world, the veritable kingdom of God. Circumstances did not control Joseph. He may have been a slave to Potiphar, but Joseph was not a slave to circumstances. So this is a picture we have of Joseph tonight. I like to, you know, the story of Potiphar's wife tried to get Joseph to sin with her. And Joseph said, no. He said, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Because Joseph realized something in temptation, and young disciples, if you can get this soon in your life, it'll help you. It'll put you further ahead than I was at your time. And that is, there's two choices whenever temptation comes to you. The choices are God and sin. When the temptation comes to you, it's simple. Sometimes we make it complicated, but it's God or it's sin. When the temptation comes, choose God. That's what Joseph did. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? God was the focus of his life, and he chose God and stuck with God. So, as a result, he was thrown into prison. Genesis chapter 39. Could you turn with me to verse 21? Now, you were pretty low as a slave. As a chattel slave, you're kind of at the bottom. And somehow he's even at the bottom. Because now he's a prisoner in the king's prison. What does it say in Genesis 39, verse 21? I hope some of you are confused when I read it. But the Lord was what? Yeah. The Lord was with Joseph in prison? Come on. Yes, the Lord was with Joseph in prison. When Joseph was in the pit that his brothers had thrown him, the Lord was with him. When Joseph was walking with his hands behind his back, chained up on the road to Egypt, the Lord was with him. When he was in Potiphar's house, the Lord was with him. When he was tempted by Potiphar's wife, the Lord was with him. When he was thrown into the prison, the Lord was with him. How many have ever said, I want God to be with me? I've said it. God, I want you to be with me. But think about it. That doesn't give you any guarantees of where you may end up. You can end up anywhere. But it's where you put your mind that determines whether God is with you or not. Joseph had two things that kept him solid, and we're going to tie up with these two things because it's going to lead into tomorrow night. We're going to finish the story of Joseph tomorrow night. These two things. Joseph believed that God is. And Joseph believed that God has a plan for his life. Two things. God is, and he has a plan for my life. So even though he may be in a pit, even though he may be a slave, even though he may be a prisoner, there are two things that are clear in Joseph's mind. God is. He exists. And he has a plan for my life. Tonight, I'd like to share the same thing with you and with me. God is. He has a plan for your life. Sometimes you may not understand the perplexities you face, but God is. He's got a plan for your life. Sometimes you may not understand the troubles that may surround you. God is. He has a plan for your life. I don't know if any of you face persecution. Sometimes I always feel that's in a far-off land, but the reality is some of us may be facing persecution in some way or another. Please know, God is. He has a plan for your life. When you're cast down, remember, God is. He has a plan for your life. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are so thankful in the story of Joseph that we see you're always with Joseph. We want you to be with us. We know that you exist. We know that you have a plan for our lives. And tonight, Father, as I am praying, I just want to ask my young disciple friends that as they're hearing this prayer, if there's a desire in their heart, to truly just say, God, I want to be with you no matter what, no matter where, that they will make that statement to you now in their own hearts. You've heard our prayers, Father. We thank you for the Sabbath. We enter with rejoicing, knowing that you are, and that you have a plan for our lives. Thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.